You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
America loves two things more than anything else when it comes to sports. They love getting behind an underdog. And they love diving into, sinking their teeth into a big old scandal. Well, MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred, move over. Adam Silver needs your seat, NBA Commissioner, because we got ourselves a scandal in the ballet, just like Major League Baseball with Shohei Ohtani and his interpreter. Now we've got the Raptors and Porter involved in this? Yep. He's Jonathan Zaslow. I'm Ian Fitzsimmons. You're on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. If you are just tuning in, Adrian Wojnarowski, David Perdomo & Company, popped this story about an hour and a half ago that Raptors forward Jonte Porter is under investigation by the NBA following multiple instances of betting irregularities over the past several months. Let's bring in David Perdomo to elaborate and give us more detail on this, ESPN senior reporter. Perdomo, we always appreciate the insight, man. You know all things Vegas and wagering. Please educate us on this particular story.
You got it. These irregularities were on prop bets involving Porter, and those are over under on amount of points he scores in the game or number of rebounds, so things like that. And he, being a low-profile player, if there is a significant rise in interest in betting on him, all of a sudden something kind of red flags go up at sportsbooks. And that's kind of what happened here. There were two games, one in January and one in March, where sportsbooks detected irregular betting interest on player props. People were coming in there wanting to bet lots of money on the under on his props. In both of those games, Porter left with playing less than 10 minutes. The first game, he cited a lingering eye injury. The second game, which was just last week, Thursday against the Kings, he said he had the flu. And in both of those games, Sportsbook said they took a lot of unusual betting interest on his player props.
David, how many sirens, I guess, sounded after the first time this happened in January? And because I would imagine, okay, this is kind of weird. He's not a high-profile player. There's a ton of money here that just came on the under, and he left the game after a few minutes. But then it happens again 5 days ago. So, like, what was the timeline of events like there?
Yeah, January 26th was the first one. That was against the Clippers. He had suffered an eye injury earlier in the week against the Grizzlies. 3 days later, he plays the Clippers. And sportsbooks first detected that they had some unusual betting money on it. You know, they flagged it, talked to integrity monitors, and people kind of just watched it because, you know, the guy had an injury, right? It could be completely legitimate. Maybe somebody found out, thought the injury was worse than it was, and it was lingering, and so people were going to bet his unders. Well, then when it happened again just last week, really the flags went up and people started to get really concerned about what's going on here. Why is this guy... why are we getting bets on this Jonte Porter that we never get bets on hardly ever? And why are we getting so many and so large of bets? And now he's going out right before the start of the game.
All right, and for one thing one question we got a lot of, and have gotten a lot, whether it's via social media or text message or whatever, is how does the NBA know this? And you kind of touched on it a little bit, but Jay Rude told me about this years and years ago. For people who don't know what Jay Rude is, he's one of the legends in Vegas. David, I'm sure you know Jay from his days at the MGM Sportsbook. He said, man, we have an army of people monitoring everything on any wagers. If you can, give us more detail as to how any sports league are able to flag something like a Jonte Porter and be able to find an irregularity that can lead to, well, improper wagering and somebody being allegedly on the take.
Yeah, great question. A lot of people start to point, well, now we have legalization of sports betting and it's everywhere, and that's kind of the root of causing these problems. Well, actually, the legalization of sports betting is providing the visibility for these leagues to see when there are improper action going on. It usually starts with the sports books. Like I said, they have a low-profile player or a low-profile game that usually doesn't take a lot of money. All of a sudden, a lot of money starts coming into that game. They start to think, what's going on? They contact what they call integrity monitors. It's kind of just basically a company at the hub that talks to regulators. It talks to sports leagues. It talks to teams, and it talks to sports books. And they kind of launch an investigation and look further and further into it. Now, if this would have happened in an offshore sports book or at your local bookmaker at the country club, we may have never heard it. But because the leagues have partnered up with sports books and with integrity services, they now have more visibility into the money that's being wagered on their games than they ever have before.
David, do we know what the Raptors think right now? Has anyone heard? Have they said anything about this yet?
They have not commented. The league spokesperson said they're just looking into it, but we have not heard from the team yet.
Let's pivot. And David Pardum, who knows all things wagering, gambling, ESPN senior reporter, joining us here on this story on ESPN Radio with Jonathan Zaslow and for Amber Wilson, I'm Ian Fitzsimmons. Pivot over to Shohei Ohtani and the interpreter and 4.5 million reasons why I don't believe a lot of what I heard today. What was your reaction to what's going on with the Dodgers right now and Shohei and the interpreter?
Yeah, wild story. Probably I've been covering sports betting for almost 15 years now, and this has got to be certainly the most high-profile case of something. And there is a lot of strange, that's changing stories from he paid off his interpreter's debts to now the interpreter has theft the money or stole the money from it. It is pretty wild. $4.5 million, huge, huge losses. If that was an actual debt on credit, that would be an extremely a large amount of credit for someone to be offered. And for people that don't know, in the unregulated bookmaking industry, they deal in credit. You walk up to a guy and you meet him and he says, okay, here's a username and password for bet 1000.ag of some sports book online in Costa Rica. He'll give you a credit limit. You can bet up to your down or up $1,000 and we'll settle up on it. Bigger high-profile players that may have they've checked in and seen that they have the resources. Maybe their limits are $100,000 before they have to pay up. To get in debt $4.5 million, that's extremely high, extremely rare.
Yeah, see, David, there are several aspects of this Ohtani story that are super fishy to me, but that right there may be the one that is the fishiest because, okay, a $4.5 million debt. You're telling me that a bookmaker is going to allow an interpreter. I mean, he probably was making six figures, okay, but a $4.5 million debt? Bookmakers are not going to allow any random guy to ring up that kind of debt. Would they allow someone who just signed a $700 million contract to ring up a $4.5 million debt? Yeah, pretty likely, I'd say.
Or maybe somebody that works for somebody that just right. signed a $700 million contract. So, you know, there were the payments. We've seen the wire transfers of $500,000. If you know this guy is paying you here and there, he loses some, he pays. He loses some more, he pays. You're going to keep him playing. You're going to try to keep him playing no matter what no matter what else is going on, even if you kind of let him go a little further than you would most people. You've seen that he has money coming free. You know who he's connected with. So while it's a wild, huge amount that's rare, I could see it happen. I could see a sports book or a bookmaker just wanting to kind of keep the action coming.
Oh, yeah, you want to keep the fish on the line, man. You don't want to catch him.
Exactly.
You want to just keep him out there dangling. As you mentioned, as long as those $500,000 payments are coming in on the regular, yeah. Oh, well, you continue to pay. Go right ahead. Last one, David, we greatly appreciate your time here on ESPN Radio. And this is a pure speculation from you, just a guess, but you know it better than we do. How long do you think this investigation in Major League Baseball plays out with Ohtani and the interpreter?
Yeah, I'll take the over for sure. these things seem to go longer and longer and longer. Anytime you get any kind of gambling, you got to check in all different kinds of angles. And unless you get a cooperating witness or you get some communications, it's very difficult to prove exactly what's happened. So the bookmaker that's involved in the Ohtani thing, you know, he's been under investigation for 5-6 years for a long time. So you can see how long these things will go on. Now, with Major League Baseball, I think they're going to try to put something out as fast as they can, right? They're going to try to move this story. And we already talked about another gambling coach just before that that may kind of push this one back a little bit. So I don't think it'll be quick, that's for sure.
What do they say out in Vegas at Vizen? It's always under until it's over. Pardon, we greatly appreciate it as always, man. Thank you so much for
Thanks.
The insight.
You got it, guys.
All right, David Purdom, ESPN reporter, all over this case involving the Raptors, Jonte Porter, and Shohei Ohtani, the interpreter, and 4.5 million reasons to have us going, wait, what? Right here on ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. See why over 28 million drivers trust Progressive to stay protected on the road. See for yourself at progressive.com. With Zaslow, I'm Fitzsimmons. Deion Sanders sends a very firm yet realistic message to every NFL team. We'll let you know what it is and why right here on ESPN Radio.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
ESPN Radio just put out a very interesting question in the Twitterverse. How much could your best friend steal from you without you knowing? See Shohei Ohtani and his interpreter, former best friend. Be $4.5 million to them. How much to you? Well, Jonathan Zaslow in for Amber Wilson. I'm Ian Fitzsimmons here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. We'll hear from Deion Sanders coming up in just one moment. Zaz, answer that question. How much could your best friend steal from you? Going Shohei and his former interpreter, his best friend.
Yeah. Well,
without you knowing.
Less than $4.5 million for sure. I think I would notice immediately any amount of money. Like, I keep track of my finances. I know what's going in and out. If I see there's a weird transaction, I'm gonna wonder where that came from. Now, I'm not saying that if it's $5, am I going to get angry about it? Although, if he's stealing from me, I'm going to get angry any amount because it's very dishonest. But I'm going to notice any kind of strange transaction. Wouldn't you?
No.
Really?
Why?
Okay.
Because my wife handles all the finances.
Well, but does she notice the strange transactions?
Oh, yeah. Last night, there was some PayPal thing from, like, Nottingham, Maryland.
Yeah.
That all of a sudden, she got some alert. Next thing you know, she's in her office, and problem solved within probably 3 minutes.
Nothing gets past these wives.
Me?
They notice everything.
Dude, whomever was trying to steal from her, I mean, if that was me, they got every damn dime. I mean, because I wouldn't notice until at minimum the next day, probably when I'm going to see how much am I getting paid this week, right?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. So
I would know. I'm
going days without even noticing. No, I would have no clue. You could rob me blind.
I would notice. And it's another part of the story that's so weird, right, where the original story when the interpreter sat down for that interview was, you know, he was paying off a debt for him, and then they were yucking it up the next day in the bottom of the ninth inning in the dugouts. If he's your friend and you're loaning him the money or you're helping him pay off a debt, why would you then fire him? Like, I understand technically the Dodgers fired him,
right.
Although I really believe, Ian, that if Shohei Ohtani said, listen, you're not firing him, I'll bet he would not be fired, all right? But that's the part also that's fishy to me. Either give him the money and forgive, or don't give him the money and fired. They did both.
He's Laszlo Umpin-Simmons here on ESPN Radio. Now we go to a guy who you damn sure know accounts for every dime, and that's Deion Sanders. And he's in Canton for a reason. He's one of the best to ever play the game. Head coach at Colorado. I was on the Million Dollars Worth of Game podcast, and he said this about his son, Shador, who's one of the best quarterbacks coming back in college football, and easily, by far, bar none. Well, he's really the only two-way player now with Sione Vaki of Utah going into the NFL draft, and Vaki's going to be a heck of an NFL player. But Travis Hunter is really now the only two-way star left in college football. Deion Sanders on what he wants his son and Travis Hunter to do when it comes to the draft. Here's the question. Here's the answer.
Where do you predict Shador and Travis going in the draft? top four.
Ooh, that's pretty beautiful.
Anywhere from one through four. One of them is going to be one. The latter one would not go behind four. Now, all this is subjective because I know where I want them to go. So there's certain cities that ain't going to happen.
Okay, you want point?
It's going to be it's going to be an Eli.
Going to Eli Manning, where the Manning family, if he were drafted by the then San Diego Chargers, he was not good. They basically told the team he's not going to be a Charger. That's when the Chargers and Giants arranged the flip with Eli Manning and Philip Rivers with a bit of a sweetener. John Elway did this with the Baltimore Colts. Remember, he was a hell of a baseball player also at Stanford.
Right.
He told the Colts, his representation did,
I'll go play baseball.
He's going to go play for the New York Yankees, yeah. Who owned his rights. Yeah. If you draft him, hence they didn't, and he ends up a donkey in Denver and goes on to win two Super Bowls. So it's not like this hasn't been done before.
And it's happened in some other sports, too. You know, Eric Lindros with the Quebec Nordiques. He forced out of there. Stevie Francis with the NBA. He didn't want to go to Vancouver. Like, this has happened before in other sports, too.
And right now, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. Like, people are going, oh, it's Deion being Deion. Well, hold on. You have players that are coming into the NFL now out of college athletics, basketball and football. Well, let's just stay with football, that have been empowered with NIL in the portal. They have had more power than they've ever had before in college football coming to the NFL. And there's a fine line, in my opinion, between being empowered and being entitled, right?
Yep.
And so you got to walk that fine line. But this is a new era of players that are coming in from college to the National Football League. They have been in power. They have had control of how much money they can make and where they can or cannot go play to some degree, at least the elite of the elite, when you're talking about guys like Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter. So do I think that this is going to become common in the NFL draft where players are going to go, no, I'm not playing for you?
I hope not.
Well, when I say common, I mean every year you might have 1 to 3 players that could possibly say, yeah, I'm not going to go play for that particular team
if I
don't want to. You might not like it. You might hate it.
I hate it.
But all I'm telling you is that era of player is coming. Now, I'm not talking of the 200 whatever are drafted, you know, with supplemental draft picks and all that stuff. Let's go 260, an arbitrary number, right, depending on the supplementals that you have. Let's just say it's around 260. I'd mm-hmm. say of those 260, maybe every year, starting maybe in 2025, you might have 2 or 3 that say, you know what? No, I'm not going to go play for you.
I hate it. I hate it so much. And I understand, look, you know, the NFL draft is not exactly a free marketplace. So you're going to get people on that side where it's like, hey, why do you have to go to the place that they tell you have to go to? And I understand there could be an argument for that, Ian, but I'm coming at it from a fan perspective, all right? Like, I'm going to be completely transparent with you. I'm coming at it from a fan perspective. And if there is a player out there who says that he doesn't want to play for my favorite team, I hate it. So it doesn't have to be like, hey, I'm okay with it until it's my team that has the number one overall pick and now someone doesn't want to play for them and now I'm angry about it. I don't want to wait till that scenario happens because that could end up happening one day. Just imagine my team has a pick and there's a great player who could potentially turn the franchise around. My favorite team, by the way, is the Dolphins. I'm here in South Florida. I hate the idea that a player is going to be able to tell us he refuses to play for us. So I come at it strictly from a very fan perspective that I hate the idea that players are going to say, I refuse to go play for you if you draft me. Hate
so
it.
You think people hated the fact that back in, what, 04, when Manning's agent Tom Condon told the Chargers he's going to sit out the entire season if you draft him with his first pick?
Yeah, I think people definitely thought it was lame. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I mean, and it's still being brought up, you know. Elway is not brought up as much because of what happened in 04. Elway was obviously a significant number of years earlier.
Also, I think part of it, Ian, with Elway was like, he was like the greatest prospect ever at that time.
Yeah,
right?
He was.
I mean, Shedeur Sanders, good player. Travis Hunter, good player.
Dude, Travis Hunter's
greatest
going
prospect
top
ever.
Five. If he doesn't get hurt, Travis Hunter, his ability to do what we haven't seen in a long time, a true two-way player.
Oh, but will they allow that in the NFL?
Look, we saw Deion play both with the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, a little bit of wide receiver. A little
That's what
bit.
I mean. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Just like, you know, some sprinkles on top of your cupcake, man. Okay. I mean, we're not talking about, you know, full-on icing here.
Yeah.
But, yeah, absolutely. I think that you would see him here and there with certain, you know, wrinkles involved. Yeah, you'll see him on the field. He's too good. That's why you saw Mike Vrabel catching touchdowns for the Patriots and J.J. Watt for the Texans. Why? They're that damn athletic, man. You get them on the field every now and then, you sprinkle it in.
I think it's because it confuses the defense when they see those guys. Ready to catch the ball.
He's a remarkable cover corner, and he's a heck of a wide. He's just he's just a hell of a football player. He's going top five next year if he's healthy. Shedeur Sanders? Yeah, I mean, look –
Deion just tell us he thinks that Shadur's going to go number one?
For the most part. And I think if he stays healthy, he's probably going top 10. I mean, you know, so – but for him to come out now and say, hey, there's certain cities that, quote, ain't going to happen. It's going to be an Eli. That also – I wonder if that gives some teams already pause when it comes to whether you do or do not take a Shedeur Sanders.
Man.
But the bottom line is this is coming. It's not just going to be Shedeur. It's not just going to be Travis Hunter. This is coming because of the way players have been empowered for the first time ever in big-time collegiate athletics.
And I think you're right, though, that teams will stay away because they don't want to deal with the potential headache. It's like, what? There are going to be other great players at the top of the draft. Let's go with one who we don't have to convince after we draft him to come play for us and potentially not even have him come and report. And then, I mean, look at us. Then we're totally screwed because we just wasted one of the top picks. I think this will wind, especially because Deion, he's so loud and bombastic, and he's Deion. Like, you have to notice when he is saying this.
Yeah, and I understand where he's coming from. I understood it with the Mannings. I was too young to understand it with Elway. But I got it because ownership for the Chargers then and now stunk. Yep. You're looking out for your kid.
Little
I kind of get it.
Side. Little
he's,
on the frugal.
He's Haslow Hump and Simmons. Coming up next, truth, logic, or lies out of the NFL owners' meetings. We translate right here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
A lot of NFL coaches, a lot of NFL owners speaking at the NFL owners' meetings. That's what they do. And then they change rules. Some we like, some we don't. If you are just tuning in, the hip drop rule. Well, guess what? You can't hip drop a player if you're a defender right now anymore in the National Football League. Rugby-style tackles, whoop, gone. He's Jonathan Zaslow and me and Fitzsimmons here on ESPN Radio. We'll hear from the coaches, owners, coming up in just a moment, like Sean Payton, Mike Tomlin, John Lynch, Woody Johnson, Jim Harbaugh, and others. But first, update, Iowa right now. Caitlin Clark and the Lady Hawkeyes lead West Virginia. Yeah, she's all right. Leads West Virginia 16-15, 90 seconds to go in the first quarter. They were down 11-2 in this game and have rallied back when she just hit a three from, like, the logo. I mean, she's just so much fun to watch. But you and I are kind of having this conversation, and it organically came up. My number one wager every year, go ahead and bet it. Well, at the start of a women's tournament, and this year it was minus 120, so you're not giving up a ton. You have to wager 120 to win 100, that a team in the first round will double up their opponent on score-wise.
Well, there's an actual prop that you could bet them doubling up their opponent?
Doubling up. They will more than double their opponent's score. South Kakalaki beat whomever they were playing, like 93-37.
Yeah,
it happens nearly, I think it was like 14 of the last 15 years. That has happened. So file that away next year, first round. You're not going to go if it's minus 220, right? But this year it was a right there at a good range, minus 120. An opponent will get doubled up, first round, women's tourney, mark it down every
year. I've never heard of that kind of bet.
Joe Fortenbaugh.
I get it because you to win one of these first two games in the women's tournament when you're on the road at, like, for instance, West Virginia has to win this game in Iowa's building.
Good luck.
It's going to be impossible.
By the way, they weathered the storm. Really, they came out, man, jaw locked. So we got a ball game right now. I mean, it's a 3-point game toward the end of the first quarter. 18-15, Iowa leads. UConn moved on. Paige Beckers was absolutely unbelievable. 32-11. They got by Syracuse 72-74. And the NC State Wolfpack have got both squads in the Sweet 16. The Lady Wolfpack, they go on, beat Tennessee 79-72.
How many schools are doing that right now? NC State has it. Duke has it. Anyone else yet has both?
Gonzaga plays tonight. They play Utah. So Gonzaga can do it. And right. I think that's it.
So we could have three. All right.
Oh, cool. Creighton. Creighton's alive.
Okay.
So there you go.
All right.
Yeah, I do a little research there. What are you making me do research for? Here's James Steele. Truth or lie? Out of the NFL owners meetings, James has sound bites and we say that's the truth. That's zero logic. It's a lie. What do you got, James?
Yeah, that's first up.
Hello, James.
Hello. Hi, Zaz. How are you?
Good.
Nice to talk to you. Long time no see. All right. First up is Jets owner Woody Johnson. He was asked today about their plans for Zach Wilson, and here's what he had to say.
You know, if we don't trade him, we're going to keep him. So it's possible that he could do it here. From his standpoint, it's probably better if he changes faces and gets to a new place and he can wipe the slate clean.
All right, Ian, truth or lie that the Jets will keep Zach Wilson if they can't train him?
It's truer words never spoken. If we can't trade him, then we're going to keep him. Well, yeah, because if you can't trade him, you're going to keep him. It'll be the third quarterback. You can cut him, right? But, I mean, and then as if we wanted to say Zaz at the end, it's probably better if he moves on. So they may get a bag of footballs for him, but he's out of there. So that's true.
Yeah, I think it's a lie. I think he's lying. I think he's trying. It's like a last-ditch effort to try and get something. I mean, can you get a sixth the way that the Patriots got a sixth for Mac Jones? I think they're trying to get something because we know last year when a couple months ago, said our biggest problem this year was we didn't have a backup quarterback. Well, they went out and they signed Tyrod Taylor. So they have a backup quarterback now for next season. There is no way they're keeping Zach Wilson on the roster as the emergency quarterback. No chance he will not be on the team next year. That's a lie.
All right, up next, Jim Harbaugh, the very, very new head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers. He was asked about his quarterback at Michigan, J.J. McCarthy, today. Here's what he had to say about him.
That was the best throwing day I've ever seen. And then, you know, hear coaches and GMs, you know, come up to me and say, hey, you know, great job with J.J. And once they were around him, I was hearing the stories about how he is on the board, how he is on the field, the little things, the intangibles. It was absolutely no surprise whatsoever, but there was raving. And it was great to hear, incredible to hear. I know it was sincere. It was unsolicited. Numerous GMs, numerous head coaches, you know, couldn't say enough good things. And it was, I mean, you could just see it, right? I mean, his pro day, well, that's literally, I'd never seen a better one.
There are a lot of things to unpack there with that soundbite. Zaz, is it a truth or lie that J.J. McCarthy's pro day was the best throwing Jim Harbaugh has ever seen?
That is a lie. Yeah. There is no way it's the greatest he's ever seen. Now, I do think there's some truths mixed in there where people are going up to him and, you know, I mean, raving, that's the way that he's describing it. Do I think that people are going up and saying, hey, J.J., you did a great job? Yes, but that just everyone is stopping him and saying, hey, oh, there's Jim Harbaugh. I got to go tell him how amazing J.J. McCarthy was. No, that's a lie. He's trying to hype up his guy. Good for him. He should do that. But, Ian, that's a lie.
I agree with you. It was a lie. And, by the way, I guess he missed Zach Wilson because I thought Zach Wilson had the best passing pro day of any college quarterback in the history of mankind. So, yeah. We're hard to throw against air, man. It really is. I mean, it's difficult to complete those passes.
Oh.
Yeah, thank you. But there were some truths in there, and there were some exaggerations in there. So there you go. I'm going most part lie because that was not the best passing day he's ever seen.
He's ever seen. Zach Wilson had the throw of the pro day season.
Yeah,
is that what they said?
Yeah, all that stuff. Yeah,
it's crazy.
60 yards against worked his
out,
body.
Worked out real well for him. Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin has a couple new quarterbacks on the team now. Kenny Pickett, who wasn't it, jettisoned off to Philadelphia to be a backup to Jalen Hurts, who's an actual good quarterback. But Mike Tomlin was asked about his new quarterback room, and here's what he had to say about Russell Wilson.
We're not resistant to competition, but as I've mentioned several times of late, I just think it's appropriate to establish positioning as we get into this thing. And the term that I've used is Russell has pole position. And why do I use that term? Because during this time where we are not formally working, man, I just think it's beneficial. His experience in the National Football League, his process that's been honed and perfected, talking about over a 12-month calendar, is not only good for him, it's good for teams. When it's time to compete, we get in training camp-like settings and going to preseason stadiums and so forth. Obviously, Justin will be given an opportunity to show his capability.
All right, Ian, truth or lie?
That man's never told a lie in his
life. Russell Wilson
has
pole position as the front runner for the Steelers quarterback job.
100% truth. Because what you know what pole position is? That happens before the race starts. Once this race starts, Justin Fields is going to be your winner. But who took the pole? Russell Wilson. Once this race begins, it's going to be Justin Fields driving the leading car.
Yeah, I think he's telling the truth. I think he knows what he's doing to go into camp with an idea of, hey, this is our guy here. This way you avoid the initial controversy. And listen, Mike Tomlin has that kind of presence that I think he tells the truth even when he lies. So I'm going truth.
I wish I had that ability.
It's a good ability.
I got a politician for a father. You would think it'd be in my DNA.
All right. So speaking of, a quarterback that the Steelers acquired, the guy that trained Justin Fields in the Steelers, Ryan Pohl, spoke today. We all know what they're going to do with the number one overall pick, right?
Caleb Williams.
Does Ryan Poles know what he's going to do with the number one overall pick?
I don't right now. Hopefully it just hits me.
Just stop.
Zaz, truth or lie, then Ryan Poles just doesn't. He has no idea what's going to happen.
I'll tell you, if I'm a Bears fan, it stinks that literally everybody knows what you should do with the number one pick except the guy who's actually making that choice. That's some really bad luck if you're the Bears fan, that the only guy who doesn't know happens to be the general manager of the team. That is some awful luck right there. No, of course that's a lie. What are we talking about here?
Why even try? That's my question. Yeah, hell yes, it's a lie. He went on to say, by the way, every teammate we've talked to, they don't like Caleb Williams. They love Caleb Williams. They love – and then you're going to say that? Yeah, blatant lie.
I mean, maybe he finds out that he's like Bo Callahan draft day. I don't know.
Bo Callahan, but he went to his birthday party.
I think he's a bust.
Awful movie.
Great movie.
Good movie.
I'm sick
we've
of the draft
already.
Day slander from – one host in this show. Up next, coach of the Minnesota Vikings, Kevin O'Connell. His quarterback room is going to look a lot different this year, too. They signed Sam Darnold. And here's what Kevin O'Connell had to say about his new quarterback.
I think Sam's at that point in his career. I think his best football is ahead of him because how he's handled the last couple of years, and whether it's going 4-2 down the stretch in Carolina in 22, or when you turn on the tape of his work in San Francisco, you can tell Kyle, Brian Greasy, these guys did a great job in the next phase of his career, fundamentals, techniques, things that you look for to see growth. I'm excited to get going with Sam because I think we can pick up where he left off last year. Like I've talked about already, love the group of guys that we have around the quarterback position in our offense right now, and I think it's going to be a really, really positive situation for Sam.
All right, Zaz, truth or lie that Sam Darnold's best football is in front of him?
You know what? I'm going to go with truth, actually. Oh. I think that, yeah, I'm going with truth. Everybody settle down.
Studio
I think
audience didn't like that answer.
Yeah, take it easy, everybody. Kevin O'Connell, I think that he believes what he is saying there. Now, I do think they're going to draft a quarterback, but I think it could easily be a scenario where Sam Darnold's the guy right now, and whoever they select will sit for at least a little bit. I think he's not going there to tell you Sam Darnold threw the best he's ever seen anybody throw like Harbaugh did with J.J. McCarthy. All right? He's telling you he thinks his best days are ahead of him. I'm going true.
Have you seen the days behind him?
Yeah.
awful.
I would hope the best are ahead. Ahead.
You better damn sure hope they're the best are ahead of them, because behind them was horrendous. Look, I said this a week and a half ago, and I got laughed at, and I'll say it again now. I think he said was true, and I think Sam Darnold is the starting quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings, and I think he plays solid football this year. Why? Because he went to quarterback rehab in San Francisco with those guys he mentioned, and number one, Kyle Shanahan. And Kevin O'Connell knows a little something about developing quarterbacks also. I think Sam Darnold actually goes back to the guy we saw at SC and not the guy who was stupidly asked to run the Peyton Manning offense. There's one dude who can run that. Peyton Manning. You're asking that dude to do that as a rookie with the Jets, right? I mean,
with the Jets.
Thank you. I don't care where you – I mean, of all places, that squad. So I think that was true.
Yeah! Take it easy, everybody.
Little Truth Logic Lies right here from NFL Owners Meetings. Along with James Steele, our girl Rachel on the ones and twos. I'm Ian Fitzsimmons along with Jonathan Zaslow. Coming up next, we stay with the National Football League. A head coach threw down a challenge, and it's a question, and it's about his team's success. You won't believe what you're about to hear right here on ESPN Radio. We almost got in a fight in our pre-show meeting over the topic you're about to hear here on ESPN Radio. Jonathan Zaslow filling in for Amber Wilson. I'm Ian Fitzsimmons. Thanks for spending part of your evening/afternoon if you're on the West Coast with us. Our producer, James Steele, found a quote from Bills head coach Sean McDermott. And the quote, James, was, and I want to make sure we have this exact, right, was about his team's success. And how did he phrase it? What was it? Oh, here we go. I got it now. To quote, to say we haven't, he was posed a question about his team's success. He said, quote, to say we haven't had success or Josh hasn't had success, I think would be kind of narrow-minded. It's hard to win in the NFL, so you kind of regroup every year and you take it one game at a time. We're all looking for Josh to really be that face of the franchise, like he's been, and continuing to evolve like he's always done. Quote, end quote. So basically, a lot of people are saying they haven't had the success they should be having with a guy like Josh Allen as your quarterback in the Josh Allen era.
Right.
Zaz, you agree or disagree, or just give me your opinion on the state of the Bills in the McDermott Allen era.
I think it's really hard to win the Super Bowl. All right, I lived my entire life. I've never seen the Miami Dolphins play in the Super Bowl, and I watched. I got to see almost all of Dan Marino's career. He made the Super Bowl very early in his career. I was too little to have seen it. It's really hard to get to the Super Bowl is the first thing I will say. So success isn't only determined by being the team that wins the last game. It's really hard to do that. Now, McDermott's in a weird spot himself because the Bills have had so much success over the last 4 or 5 years that we may be getting to a place, if you're Bills management, where is McDermott the guy who can get us over the hump? See, these are two different things, right? If you could be the guy who can get the team over the hump compared to are we having success? Those are two different things. They are having success. I don't know if McDermott is the guy to get them over the hump.
I think the way you put it, and I like Sean McDermott, but I think the way you put it is perfect. Because success and winning the title, the big tamale, the Super Bowl, are two different things.
Mm-hmm.
And you can weigh on the conversation at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So James Steele brought it up, and he and we got into it a little bit. I mean, you know, just because I'm
Oh, he's looking
him.
To pick fights with everybody, with him and the Chiefs. He's very spoiled.
That's what I told him. I said, look, you're looking at this through Chiefs glasses, where if you don't win it all with Patrick Mahomes, it's not a successful season. And so we went to ESPN Stats and Info,
mm-hmm.
and because when you look at the Bills' playoff record, 2020 AFC Championship game, lost by one score. You know mm-hmm. who they lost to?
Mahomes.
Yeah, Kansas City Chiefs. 2021, win the wild card round, lose to?
Mahomes. Yeah.
Yes, one score again, 42-36. 2022, win the wild card round.
Yep.
Division round. Lose two?
Yep, Mahomes. I remember that one. Sure.
Joe Burrow. That was Joe Burrow.
Oh, Burrow. Okay,
that
the
was
next
Burrow.
One. Okay.
Last year, beat the Steelers round one. So they've won every single year. Outside of Josh Allen's rookie year, they have survived and advanced in the postseason. Every single season. Who did they lose to last year in the division round? By three? Again, a one-score game?
Yep.
Patrick Mahomes and James Steele's Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, it's so, like you run into Michael Jordan. Wow, you weren't able to have any success. Yeah, we ran into Michael Jordan.
Stockton and Malone, right? I mean, right. Going down the list.
Right, imagine saying Stockton and Malone didn't have success.
Oh, God, I'd punch you right in the face.
But.
I mean, they lost to Jordan.
But.
There's no but.
Did Stockton and Malone underachieve?
No.
No.
Why not?
They went to two. Well,
did they win any titles?
Because Michael Jordan, that's why not.
Did they win any titles, though?
Because of Michael Jordan.
That's fine, but...
That's a fact.
That's great, but the goal, ultimate goal, is to win championships.
Well, of course but it doesn't mean they didn't have success.
Thank you, Zaz.
Success and underachieving are two different things.
Okay, so let me ask you this. How many teams, when we pose this question, ESPN Stats and Info, how many teams in the last 4 years of 32 in the NFL have survived and advanced in the postseason? How many? Go ahead, James. You can say it.
Oh, you want me? Two.
Oh,
Chiefs
okay.
and Bills.
And the Chiefs and the Bills.
Come on.
Oh my Lord!
Come on.
It's that there's two teams in the entire league that have survived and advanced every year in this decade, but we're going to say that the Bills are not successful because three of those four they have lost by one score.
Winning playoff games every year is really good.
To the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes.
So that's their ceiling then.
Dude,
that's it.
Again,
so our expectations for the Bills.
I'm saying that their goal every year, yes, of course, is to win the Lombardi. No. But people are out there saying that Josh – now that was the point of Sean McDermott's quote, right, when he was posed the question about – How have they done in the Josh Allen era? And he said, if you are just tuning in, he said again, to say we haven't had success or Josh hasn't had success, I think would be kind of narrow-minded. And I completely agree.
That's fair.
Like if you would say,
they are underachievers, though.
Like if you were to say when they were trading up to get Josh Allen and you were to say, hey, I don't know if you're going to win a quarterback. I can't guarantee you're going to win a Super Bowl when you draft this quarterback, but I can guarantee you that in the first few years of his career, that four straight years, you're going to win playoff games all of those years. Is this the kind of guy you want to have your quarterback? They're going to say, yup, I can't wait to hand in that card. This
and
is
you're going
guy.
To an AFC championship game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, again, he's running to Mahomes and the Chiefs, three of the four, and they've lost by one score in every single one of them. And one of those, he hung 36 on the Chiefs. But that's his fault. Guess he can't play safety also. I mean.
Success to be had without winning the last game of the season. There is.
Thank you very much. Especially
they have been successful.
In the Mahomes era.
They have also underachieved. Both
they were a nothing franchise for like 20 years before this. I don't think that's underachieving.
In James's mind, Mahomes has to tear an ACL and then have the Bills go in the Super Bowl in order to be successful. There you go. Right.
It'll shut me up.
He's Zaslav on Fitzsimmons. This is ESPN Radio.